The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم to all. This is Martha Naila presenting this evening on Pioneers. Yes, as we start, as always, reading from Quran. And today, well, we apologize for any background noises. While some are diligently moving furniture, and this is the location where I am, so inshallah, we will bear through it. All right. And so we're going to be reading, and of course, this is again Pioneer Power Hour, as we seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. And with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we give open testimony that Allah is the one God. There are absolutely no partners with Allah. And that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Greetings again. And we're going to be reading from, just when I got to Surah Hujurat, I wanted to read the entire, and the focus is on forgiveness. And you know how many times we get caught up in different situations, and it's one thing to repent, but that's ones who have committed an act. And then there's that situation where ones have to forgive for ones who, whatever has happened to them. And I'm entering into it this way, as this morning we were expressing trauma and how trauma affects our lives. And I'm going to go more to solution-oriented processes, inshallah. And of course, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all through the Quran, there are solutions. There are situations that refer us to, you know, to help us through the process of being able to forgive. And as I say that, I was going to Suratul, let's see, it did not move from Hujurat. Okay. This is the 24th Surah. Okay. Okay. We'll take it as it comes, right? We plan, and Allah's plan is the better plan. Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And we're going to read from Surah 24. Ayat, starting with Ayat 11. All right? Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna al-ladhina ja'u bil-ifki usbatum minkum la tahsabu sharral lakum bal huwa خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَا اكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ وَالَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوا كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ لولا إذ سمعتموه صن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفدتم فيه عذاب عظيم صونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Thank you for your patience, mashallah. That's from 11 to 16, and reading from Sahih International. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Indeed, those who came with falsehood are a group among you. Do not think it bad for you. Rather, it is good for you. For every person among them is what punishment he has earned from the sin. And he who took upon himself the greater portion thereof, for him is a great punishment. Why, when you heard it, did not the believing men and believing women think good of one another and say, this is obvious falsehood? Why did they who slandered not produce for it four witnesses? And when they do not produce the witnesses, then it is they in the sight of Allah who are the liars. And if it had not been for the favor of Allah upon you and his mercy in this world and the hereafter, you would have been touched for that lie in which you were involved by a great punishment. When you heard, when you received it with your tongue and said with your mouth that of which you had no knowledge, and thought it was insignificant, while it was in the sight of Allah tremendous. And why, when you heard it, did you not say, it is not for us to speak of this? Exalted are you, O Allah. This is a great slander. Sadaqallahu Azim. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth, and may we be forgiven for any errors and in the transmission, translation, and inshallah, not intended, of course. But as we go into our discussion on pioneers, we know that much has been discovered historically about that which has been misinformation about people and about their lives and about what they've done and what they did not do. And just to make some ones in history look better than others, the attempt to do so has caused great harm to many and has caused great people with greater attributes to be slandered and others to be misled by the information. And many nations have been traumatized. People have been traumatized by these lies, by this misleading information. And if I point out one particular pioneering effect of a person's life, the pioneering effect is when we look at the Middle East and we see what we travel back down the road of how the United Arab Emirates, looked. How did it appear? It appeared, we know that there were happenings, of course, you know, fighting wars within their own clannish kind of process, living. But when we look at just an overall picture and we see the measured degree of turmoil that was going on, we didn't know the depth of it. We didn't know the total infrastructure that was being held together by a one that appeared to be powerful. And I'm speaking of Saddam Hussein. And of course, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive those whom he will and blesses whom he will. I'm speaking of this in the sense of what we've come to know, and it has not been proven, and just briefly touching on this in a world affairs kind of thing. the weapons of mass destruction, right? A great lie, as ones have come to find out. A lie. What did that cause? It caused a great explosion in that area. Ones who thought that there was a powerful hand over them, the appearance of it, or perhaps it was the trust that once had, I don't know, but it appeared as though Saddam Hussein had a powerful hand in that the people, the surrounding territories were held at bay because they did not know exactly the extent of his power, but they weren't willing to test it either, right? Overall, we know that they, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes those who commit acts of sin, acts of, you know, and of course, as we were receiving information about his sons and how they were committing such terrible acts against the people, and of course, it was said of Saddam himself, and people, some of the people were denying it. So we don't know. I mean, I'm sure ones have proof to say, yes, it occurred. But when a people as a nation are traumatized by a lie, and that's just one instance there. Now I'm going to come to the people who were sold into slavery. And speaking of the African nations now, the outer African nations, where ones for an economical means, for the monetary means, they sold ones into slavery, right? And years passed, hundreds of years passed, ignoring the fact that this occurred, not lifting a hand to try to undo what they did. What can we say that we can look back at and see what has traumatized that era, that area, because of what happened years past? And the lie that covered, that they covered themselves with to keep from being what I guess an outcast in the whole continent of Africa, what is known as Africa. Whatever the case may be, now here in America, the same people that were are descendants of those who were sold into slavery and who lived through it, the descendants are still, a lie has been told. Now let's go directly to the King James Version, and I'm saying it in that way so that there's no disrespect intended. The King James Version, no disrespect intended for the idea of what we say is the Word of God, and for those who faithfully follow that which is the honorable Word of Almighty God, and they follow it, you know, with the sincerity. I'm speaking of the misleading information, the trauma that has occurred from the misleading information, the slander. The ones being called Hamites, ones being called the descendants of that one which was cursed. That's a great lie. That's not something you sweep up under the rug, right? It's a lie. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knows. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. And everything that was done, everything that has been done, Allah is well aware. And so here we, as descendants of that great lie, of that great happening, rather, that big event, and then it being covered with a lie to say, oh, you're despised, you are a despised people, this is why you're in the conditions that you're in, you are supposed to be the servant, the slave of this particular historical figure, these particular historical figures, the sons, the two sons that apparently with the story, I mean, not apparently, the story, the lie that was told about an honorable individual, Prophet Noah, may Allah be pleased with him, prayers and peace be upon him, and the sons, apparently, you know, the characters that were expressed as being the sons, and then what came out of that. So we're looking in history. We're looking at the pioneering aspect of a great lie, of a lie, of slander, of trauma that has been cast upon a people. And how will the people uncover themselves? With the truth, right? With the truth. And so a blessedness has been received, but has it been received just for those who have been traumatized? No, it has been received for everyone, everyone. For those who need to seek forgiveness, those who need to do the forgiving. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed it so much, blessed the whole process of forgiveness so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and forgiveness is best, right? For the ones who are in the position to do the forgiving. And so we look at any people that are in the position to forgive a traumatic happening, process, situation, scornful years, and being able to forgive, that forgiveness comes in the form of living life, living a life that has been blessed by Almighty God, the life that has been blessed. And so those that come under that life that has been blessed and humble themselves, no matter what nationality, ones who have been blessed for any trauma that has occurred to on them or to them, any trauma that has occurred, the pioneering process that comes out of that, seeing ones now, here's where the effect of the pioneering comes into play. For those who work their ways out of that and keep working their ways out of it. And what are they doing? They're working their way back to their Lord, back staying in the remembrance of their Lord. And with that, there is, a Quran reading tradition. You know, there are times in the Quran for sujood, right? And we went through that during the month of Ramadan. But there's a gentleman that Imam Kareem Hamid brought into discussion the other morning. I think it was Thursday morning. Yes, on Imam Yusuf Ramadan's presentation, A New Day for Al-Islam in America, about a character named Rumi. And so I was looking at that, and I wanted to know more because I probably, you know, I'm sure heard the poetry as such, but did not have much background information. And so I was reading some of it, and I said, oh, this is good. How ones have, you know, well, poetry has been good for many already anyway, and it has brought us into poetry has brought us into a particular feeling. It has brought us into a particular point where we place our thinking and our woes, our worries, our whatever, into the poetry, into the poetic, the sound of it, the words and what they mean, and how it's cast upon the people. And we know music has done that also, right? But poetry truly has captured the hearts of many. And it has brought ones to a point of helping us to forgive. That's where I'm going with it. It has helped many ones to forgive. It has taken the harm, the pain, the hard crust of anger or madness or, you know, just hatefulness. It has taken it to a certain place and placed it there. And then out of it over the years, the anger began to become more subdued, more subdued. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala working it, right? So in this poetry known, you know, with Rumi, and I'm trying to get to it now as I had it on my in my email, but apparently it didn't transfer. But anyway, nonetheless, inshallah, we'll get to it. Rumi the poet. But I wanted to bring that out, and of course, the idea of music and how that has helped ones. I'm sure if I say, you know, the not Tchaikovsky, but Tchaikovsky was one, but what's the well-known musician? Why can't I think of his name? But anyway, his symphonies calmed nations. When they went into war, it stirred them with some parts of the music and other parts. It calmed them. And so I believe the symphonic number 5, I think it was number 5 or 9, was first played in the state of California. And I still can't think of the name of the person. But nonetheless, you know, that music, I know as you say, it calms the savage beast. Well, speaking of the emotions that rise. And so the pioneering, again, is the movement out from under all of that, away from the anger, away from the effect of the trauma, not to forget it, but moving out from that traumatized period. And so when we speak of the Sojourner Truth and the Harriet Tubman and Paul Robeson and Frederick Douglass and all of the figures that we speak of, you know, all of them. And especially the poets that put things into word form, and it brought a sense of calmness to the people. And some it stirred, but mainly it brought calm. And I'm thinking of Edgar Allan Poe and Williamson. Oh, why can't I think of the names now? But anyway, I believe you're getting the picture here. Climbing is like we're climbing the Mount Arafat. As pioneers now, climbing it, trusting our Lord, and our Lord bringing to the forefront what a lie has been told, what lies have been told, what slanderous lies have been told, and that when we put the trust and we hold, and one point of Rumi's poetry that I did read, he was saying that it's for the people to hold to the rope of God. I did see that. Hold on to the rope of God. So many ones have benefited from reading his poetry and putting it into music. But that stuck out to me. That stood out to me, that we're to hold on to the rope of Almighty God. And that's what we're climbing Mount Arafat with. Yes, Mount Arafat, the physical mountain, but the Mount Arafat, we've been climbing that Mount Arafat from the time of slavery coming on up, and we can name the people, and we know when we get to the part of being there with Imam Wahdi Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi, we know we're at a certain point on that mount that only pioneers true to the word of Almighty God, really staying true to the word of God, continue to climb that mountain. And once climbing it, come on down. Come on down with the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with. That's the pioneering effect, everyone. So getting to know and getting in shape is what I was terming everything as, you know, coming out of the trauma, is getting fit, getting in shape, getting our spiritual self together. And we're going to take a moment for a public service announcement. And we want you to come into the conversation, if you will. Press 1 on your phone if you like, and we will definitely bring you into the conversation, understanding what we're sharing and what we're, you know, we're wanting to bring up the effect of the trauma, the effect and the effect of the trauma and how we, the beauty, how we have been, you know, it's like each moment, each time we say our prayers, each time let our worship be seen in the good that we do in the land, each time we strive to become a part of the makeup that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into being, you know, the matching up with one female, matching together. Why? To bring out that balance of the feminine and the masculine the way it should be. And we look at the rest of creation. Little birds I was watching today. Before we go to the PSA, I want to share this. I was taking a snapshot of it. I saw the little bird. I'm sitting there on a bench, and this bird is at this hedge, and it's right at the top of it, and then it flies down to the ground. A tiny bird. And it picked up a twig, and it put that down. Then it picked up a leaf, a dry leaf, and it went back up with that leaf into an opening in that hedge and went further up into the center of it, put that leaf there. I said, oh, it's making a nest. Tiny bird. And then it comes back out and it continued to do that process. Then I looked again, and it's making a hole in the ground. It's flapping its wing and making a hole. And I'm saying to myself, look at this. That bird has a point of reference. It's not thinking like we're thinking it out, but it knows what it has to do. And I said, Allahu Akbar. Thank you, Allah, for showing me this. And I said, so our work has to be seen that we're diligent about going every step of the way, doing what we have to do with a purpose, not just doing it without a purpose and then wondering, okay, what am I going to do next? Why am I here in this position? Oh, I got here. I don't know why. Okay, so I guess I'll wait on somebody else to tell me where to go from here. No, alhamdulillah. So that was just wonderful watching that. And, yeah, of course, I smile as I said, wow, I'm riding the bus these days and loving it because I'm meeting people. And I'm meeting people right where they are, and they're meeting me right where I am in my thinking, and so much that we need to stay in touch with, that we're not above and beyond the base structure of how human beings live every day, going toiling through the sunshine, the heat. There's about a 95 with 105 index, 95 degrees here, right? That may not be too hot for some, but alhamdulillah. All right, so we're going to take a break here, one moment, and we'll be right back.
This is new to me. I've never been here before. What am I supposed to do? I guess you tell me more. As soon as the door opens and someone walks in, I hear those sounds often, again and again. When I turn and close the door, the sound is no more. But when I open the door, there it is again. What am I supposed to do? And where am I? I'm not afraid. Ah, you have just entered with me into a reality. I am here, I am here, I am here. Yes, and we close the door just for the pioneers once more.
Ah, yes, I love that. Alhamdulillah. The pioneers, ones willing to travel, willing to go through whatever door is open to them because they're trusting their Lord. Alhamdulillah. All right. So anyone, press 1 on your phone if you want to make any comments. We thank you for being here with us. Let's see here if we are able to go to the poetry. I'm still trying to bring up this poetry of Rumi. Inshallah.
Okay. Well, that's going to take a little while. Oh, there it is. Allahu Akbar. All right, so I'm going to read this. It says, Jalaluddin Rumi, the 13th century mystic poet, was truly one of the most passionate and profound poets in history. Now today, his presence still remains strong, due in part to how his words seem to drip of the divine and startle a profound remembrance that links all back to the soul essence. Born in what is present-day Afghanistan in 1207, he produced his masterwork, the Masnawi, which consists of over 60,000 poems before he died in 1273. The best way to fully say in words his impact is that he has the ability to describe the indescribable, ineffable God. I have included two different translators of his work. Coleman Barks on the first two pages, Shahram Sheva on the third, and on the fourth page is a selection of Rumi love poems by both of the translations. And we're going to read this one. It says, late by myself. Give me a moment here. All right, I'll read this one until that, oops, okay, until that comes to us, inshallah. No, tell me I didn't lose it. Okay. Okay, reading. There is a community of the spirit. Join it and feel the delight of walking in the noisy street and being the noise. Drink all your passion and be a disgrace. Close both eyes to see with the other eye. And that was translated by Coleman Barks from The Essential Rumi. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. Translated by Coleman Barks. Moving water. When you do things from your soul, you feel a river moving in you, a joy. When actions come from another section, the feeling disappears. Don't let others lead you. They may be blind or worse, vultures. Reach for the rope of God. And what is that? Putting aside self-will because of willfulness, people sit in jail. The trapped bird's wings are tied. Fish sizzle in the skillet. The anger of police is willfulness. You've seen a magistrate inflict visible punishment. Now see the invisible. If you could leave your selfishness, you would see how you've been torturing your soul. We are born and live inside black water in a well. How could we know what an open field of sunlight is? Don't insist on going there. you think you want to go, excuse me. Don't insist on going where you think you want to go. Ask the way to the spring. Your living pieces will form. Your living pieces will form a harmony. There is a moving palace that floats in the air with balconies and clear water flowing through infinity everywhere, yet contained under a single tent. By Coleman Barks from The Glance. Not intrigued with evening. That's the title. What the material world values does not shine the same in the truth of the soul. You've been interested in your shadow. Look instead directly at the sun. What can we know by just watching the time and space shapes of each other? Someone half awake in the night sees imaginary dangers. The morning star rises. The horizon grows defined. People become friends in a moving caravan. Night birds may think daybreak a kind of darkness because that's all they know. It's a fortunate bird who's not intrigued with evening, who flies in the sun we call Shams. And that's from The Soul of Rumi by Coleman Barks. The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. At Coleman Barks from Essential Rumi. There is a way between voice and presence where information flows. In disciplined silence, it opens. With wandering talk, it closes. For a while, we lived with people, but we saw no sign in them of the faithfulness we wanted. It's better to hide completely within as water hides in metal, as fire hides in rock.
This We Have Now is the title. This We Have Now is not imagination. This is not grief or joy, not a judging state or an elation or sadness. Those come and go. This is the present that doesn't. Birdsong brings relief to my longing. I'm just as ecstatic as they are, but with nothing to say. Please, universal soul, practice some song or something through me. Light breeze. As regards feeling pain, like a hand cut in battle, consider the body a robe you wear. When you meet someone you love, do you kiss their clothes? Search out who's inside. Union with God is sweeter than body comforts. We have hands and feet, different from these. Sometimes in dream, we see them. That is not illusion. It's seeing truly. You do have a spirit body. Don't dread leaving the physical one. Sometimes someone feels this truth so strongly that he or she can live in mountain solitude, totally refreshed. The worried, heroic doings of men and women seem weary and futile to dervishes enjoying the light breeze of spirit. Oh, how sweet. And those are some of the poetry from Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I'd like to leave from that, and it is now 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and let's see if there's anyone who wants to comment. Press 1 on your phone if you do. Inshallah, we'll continue on here. We were wanting to bring up some of the daily practices for our spirit. And we know that as we were listening to the poetry, as he said, think of the body as a robe, right? That's where a home that we live in. And so hopefully this part for us, the daily practices for the spirit. Remember, everyone, that tonight, as we go into the next hour, we're going to do a replay for the Young Minds, the prayerful journey of the Young Minds. And next week they will begin, inshallah, with their 15-minute presentations, four of them, inshallah. And they will incorporate all what they were doing in the 2 hours. And because we have our dear sister Aisha Nasir that will be presenting, Sidewalk Scholar. So please be with us this evening. As we end from this hour, we're going to ask, as we do on Monday morning, we're going to ask you to hang up and call back in, as it will start from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the prayerful journey of the Young Minds, and end with our dear sister Aisha Nasir with from 8 to 11. Yes. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God for that. And as we, I'm sure many ones you've heard of Chopra, right? That's C as in cat, H-O-P as in Paul, R-A. And many times you probably have heard about the meditation, the health and wellness, the personal growth, the emotional well-being. Of course, there's a course that ones actually get involved with. And so I thought I had uploaded some of the things from Chopra, but alhamdulillah, we'll see here. Let's see here. Okay. Daily practices for spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical well-being. Now, this was presented by Tris, T-R-I-S, Thorpe. And it says, now, a picture has captured a young woman, and the young woman is lying on a bench outside of what appears to be a park. All right. It says, overall, Americans are not in a great state of health. One of the contributing factors, subhanAllah, one of the contributing, please, subhanAllah, I apologize. As I said, there's movement around. Let me close this door again. One of the contributing factors is that most people link health exclusively to the physical body. While the physical body is important, when we only associate health with our physical body, we fail to recognize other factors that contribute to our overall well-being. And I'll stop right there for a moment, because I don't want to assume or take for granted that all of us, that, well, those who have been listening to for years now to Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin about health, listening to our sister who does the exercise, I can't call her name now, but anyway, who's very active and has shared much information with us about being physically fit, and all ones who have been speaking to our spiritual development, our physical development, our mental development. And so what I'm sharing here is just an addition. All right? Just an addition to that, inshallah. All right. So daily practices for the spiritual. And as it eased away from me here. And then we'll share 15 tips to getting, and hopefully it's 7:50 right now. Hopefully we won't get it all done in the 10 minutes. But I'm doing this piece now because we will begin, inshallah, direct action. And as I stated before, for weeks ago, for ones who want to get the paperwork that I'm sharing on direct action, then it, go to knowmeinstitute@gmail.com. That's K-N-O-W-M-E-N-O-M-E. An institute, spelled out I-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-E, knowmeinstitute@gmail.com. And, you know, just say, request the direct action of self. Direct action of self, inshallah. Okay. Most ancient cultures pointed to a connection between body, mind, and spirit and recognized that each composed a part of the whole. Now, integrative medicine and health psychology are beginning to recognize that health is influenced not only by the physical body, but the spiritual, the mental, and emotional bodies too. Your health is dependent on all four facets, as opposed to just one of the four. Building onto this concept, your overall health is also influenced by a trickle-down effect. The physical body is affected by our emotions. Our thoughts, repeat, our thoughts, I feel the pain, and I'm stepping away from the reading. I feel the pain, my feet, my toes, they look like they're going to hurt, or, I'm going to be sick, right? You recall anyone saying that? Or we stump our toe, or we bump our fingers, or we jam our fingers into something, you know, out of mistake, or we bite our tongue. Ooh, that really hurts. And we constantly say it, and it does hurt, right? It does. But you know, and especially when we start a new exercise routine, and we say, oh, wow, this is tough. Oh, I can't. So as soon as we say, I can't do this, or I can't do that, oh, this is pulling too much. Oh, I'm going to give myself a break. I walk 8 miles. That should be sufficient. No, that's when we tell ourselves, keep putting one foot in front of the other. We have to walk 8 miles. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Allah will bless you. That car that you see that you've measured as far off from you, it is going to get closer. That tree, that house, that light pole, that the darkness is coming upon you. Oh, you're getting terrified. Or someone is approaching you and they appear to be coming in your direction. You make one move to the right, they make their move to the right. You make it to the left, they make it to the left. Now, what are you going to do? Allah will send you the help. Reach for your phone. Pretend to talk and watch them walk away. I can speak from experience. Alhamdulillah. Then you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with a moment. And this is in true day, in daylight. But alhamdulillah, so our thoughts direct how we feel, and our energy level sways our mind and our thoughts. Oh, am I not being heard? Let's see here. I see my dear sister Debbie calling in, so give me one moment. Alhamdulillah. All right. And so, dear friend, Debbie is on the line. And I was just speaking about you this morning, Debbie. Someone asked me about you. And I said, oh, I haven't heard from I must call
Debbie. I know. I've been in another world.
Yes,
I was in another world for about a month, but I'm back. And I just wanted to say, when you're talking about slavery, you know, one of the also greatest sins of slavery is not just the abuse, but the feeling that as Caucasians, we've inherited that feeling of superiority, which is all satanic. you know, and that is one of the biggest crimes right there, is that the need to feel superior or the desire to want to be superior, which is just what Shaitan did, which to me is one of the biggest sins ever. And the abuse and everything, it was so horrible to begin with. But now the feeling we've inherited, a feeling that we need to feel superior, is also such a great sin.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll say to that is, you know, we have to forgive ourselves. You agree? We have to, even ones who were feeling superior has to be brought to that point. But you know what? Life is moving on. And this
yes.
is where Rumi, the poet, may Allah be pleased with him, suggested, you know, hold on to the rope of God. Grab
yes.
hold to that rope and let it pull you up, and then you be willing to share. And that takes away that fear and that oppression. That's what I want to say. The oppression takes it away, I believe. So, alhamdulillah. Yes, I love you, Debbie. And I'm so happy that you're back.
Oh, mashallah. Thank you. I've been in another world for about a month, but now I'm back. So, alhamdulillah. And, and Eid Mubarak, you know.
Yes.
And I've reconnected with my old masjid, so I'm back there again now. And I'm just back.
All right.
I'm back.
Well, I tell you, I love it. And in a moment, we're going to hang up and we're going to make segue, whatever. We're going to make highway for the next presentation.
And, well, we know what you mean. Don't worry.
Thank you. And so I want to get this in. The 15 tips for getting into the best shape of your life. There's a question. Are you in your best shape? And that I want all of us to think.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, are we in the best shape? And so for those who've gone through the month of Ramadan, it doesn't end at the end of those 30 days, 30 days. It is still in effect. And here we are. And so Shawwal, we're going to help one another, inshallah. Shawwal
yes.
has brought in a new awareness for all of us, and we're learning how to forgive. We're learning those pockets. Yes, we're learning those pockets of thought wherein we have not forgiven ourselves and we have not forgiven others. And so we've been living it out without thinking that anyone noticed it, right? So alhamdulillah. But it's noticeable because we're not moving forward in many instances. So alhamdulillah, 90 seconds, 60 seconds in a moment. It says few of us are. Most of us are no longer hunters and farmers. Our ancestors were, but we're not. And because we no longer chase buffalo and climb trees for fruit, our lives have become too sedentary to be healthy. So we have a lot to look forward to. It says, in order to truly be in your best shape, or in our best shape, listen to this, we have to move more. But because of television and computers and cars, it's not as easy to get up and get moving as you might think. So getting started is often the hardest part. In contemporary life, excellent health requires a system. It doesn't just happen spontaneously on its own. It can be difficult at first to put that system in place. Of course, there are solutions, and that's why I said I'm going to offer solutions. 10 seconds and we're going to hang up. You can prepare yourself for success. Here are 15 tips that can help you get into the very best shape of your life, and you can implement a strategic system to help you look better and feel better within your daily life. You just need to find the system that is uniquely right for you and implement it. And we look forward to doing that next week, inshallah. Hang up and dial back in, and we'll be with you then, inshallah. Love you much. Assalamu alaikum.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.